He navigates pathways between this realm and another glazed with stardust and spirit. Entranced, goosebumps pimpling his arms, Pa decided I would be called Zula. Along with my name came an awakening, confirmed by Vina's smile that night. From the beginning, Pa believed that my sisters and I were destined to shape the world. I would be one of three, a pride of sisters, born in different hemispheres, in forest, desert, and by water. Together, we would dance with creation and replenish it. The first time he told me the story of my birth, Pa described the scene as if he could still see it. The sun setting over snow-capped peaks burned the Altai Mountains gold. The foothills beneath glowed, so much so that a flat stretch of scrubland in front of it shone. "Even the air seemed to sparkle," Pa said. "Without a horse's breath of wind, the world stood still and glimmered like kindling. Grasses, bushes, trees, all of it, from the faraway mountains to our homestead. That summer we were camped beside a lake, Zula. At the water's edge, our horses and camels were grazing. In wolf light, water that flickers blue in the day takes on a haunted purple hue. Dogs feel the heat of fangs in their teeth, and cows, butting like bulls, recall the maul of horns on their heads. That's when you burst into our lives, my daughter." I was born after the big winter thaw at the start of the grazing season. Mongolia, my home, is a land of mountains, lakes, and sky, an ocean of sky. We're nomads, often on the move, in search of pasture for our animals. It was into this world that I emerged, blue-eyed, a silver curl on my head. After I took my first breath, Pa claimed that instead of crying, I sang a desert song, a piercing note that I held for so long that my grandmother, fearing I was a spirit child and my first breath would be my last, slapped me. "You know your grandmother," Pa said. I nodded. Grandma, Pa's mother, the leader of Pa's circle, is not the easiest of women to be around. At times her tongue can be as sharp as the bite of a saber-toothed tiger, and yet she guides me nonetheless. Within 6 weeks, though the coil on my head remained silver, the colour of my eyes shifted from blue to grey, pale grey like the fur of a wolf in winter. "My winter wolf," Grandma called me. More convinced than ever that my time on Earth would be precious, she swaddled me and kept me close, while Ma went back to her chores. Grandma petted me, fed me bone broth to build me up and anchor me to Mother Earth. She rubbed herbs on my scalp to encourage my hair to grow. She smeared ointments and lotions, whispered magic words on my crown. And when at last my hair emerged, it dazzled like lightning in snow. As I grew older, capable of placing one foot in front of the other, Grandma taught me language and told me tales of the great Khan who forged our nation and launched the Mongol Empire. Tales of the mighty swords he wielded, scimitars, sabers, Mongolian ilds, swords as powerful as Grandma's spirit. To bind me to her craft, she held me transfixed with fables of night and day creatures that dwell on the steppes. Then, a twinkle in her eyes, she spoke of their companions, women warriors, archers on horseback, nomads like us. Between them, Grandma and Pa saw the framework of a picture my mother was unable to see. They saw and heard, and what they understood, they passed on to me. Of the three of us sisters, I, the firstborn, was the leader. The heartwood that would bind us was that each of us would have a teacher and mentor to help us excel in our craft, and each of us a special place to take care of. In my case, we were on our annual journey from our summer grazing grounds to the outskirts of the town where we winter when I saw mine. A range of mountains shaped like a giant in hibernation.